Well, let us continue our thanksgiving by turning in God's Word, to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, we'll be reading verses actually 2 through 18. That's found on page 180 of your pew Bibles. And as you're turning to Deuteronomy chapter 8, you find the people of Israel, they are on the shores of the Jordan River looking into the promised land, and Moses is again reminding them of the word of God, or you call Deuteronomy the second telling of the law. And so God is reminding them of his promises, of his provisions, and so we enter God's word together in Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning at verse 2. This is God's word. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years, to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and the hills. A land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. A land where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron, and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you today, you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers, as it is today. This is God's word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh, Father, we know that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so feed us, your sheep, that our hearts would be glad in God, that our hearts would be thankful in season and out of season, in want or in plenty. Instruct us by your word through your spirit, we ask, O God, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The plight of our nation. As you perceive the world around you, as you watch the proceedings of life spill through our various screens, is the world a thankful place? Is the world a thankful place? Are the people of nations thankful? Well, for that matter, are you thankful? We don't have to go just through the screens. We can just ask that of you. It doesn't seem to be much Thanksgiving going on this Thanksgiving. I hear a lot about shopping. I hear a lot about belly aching. I hear a lot of complaining, but I just don't hear a lot of Thanksgiving. That wondrous, encouraging Thanksgivings in our world. And one thing the Christian is definitely called to do is to be a woman or man who thanks God for both the blessed providences and the bitter providences. We are to be a people who are always remembering. Did you see that in the text? Remember. And again, he said at the end, remember. We are to be a people always remembering the Lord's provision, and we are to delight in it. To delight in it. To thank God for it. Whether that is the bitter providences or the blessed providences, we are to be a people who are delighting in what God is doing and thanking God for it. Now, friends, how's it going? Truly, how is it going in your call to be a thankful man or woman? Well, I can tell you how it's going for me. You know, yesterday, as I'm, you know, studying the text, there was a peculiar lack of thankfulness in my heart. Because God doesn't want a mere outward thankfulness. He doesn't want your lips to move and sing all these wonderful thanksgivings while your heart is not in it. He wants your heart. I mean, that's what the text is all about. He wants the people's heart. That's the purpose of the humbling. That's the purpose of the testing, because he wants our heart. But you know, my experience yesterday was like, why am I so dull? Why am I so dull to the provisions and blessings of the Lord, whether they be good or ill? Why is my heart so downcast within me? Is anyone like that this Thanksgiving? I know, don't raise your hand. Because sometimes in Thanksgiving, you think you have to be, ha, right? Hey, happy Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving. But it could be you are here with a heavy heart. A heavy, heavy heart. And I'm glad you're here. And maybe you don't want to sing God's praises. It's hard for you to thank God. I'm glad you're here. But God would say to your heavy heart, please give thanks. Please give thanks. It's for you that I have given this instruction. It's for you that I have given this, because I love you. I want your life to be full of joy. And thanksgiving is the path to joy. It is not complaining. You ever notice that the more you complain, the happier I get? That's never true. The more I complain, the less happy I become. No, God wants his people, even if their hearts are heavy, to give thanks, to remember beyond their circumstances and their present situation, what I have done for you, O sister, what I have done for you, O brother. And God says what he had done for them. He had brought them out of the promised land. He had brought them out of Egypt. He had brought them out of slavery. He had made them, who were not a people, to be a people, his precious possession, a people that he loves. And he had led them to the wilderness wanderings, as you see here. And even in the wilderness wanderings, what we see is that God was using the wilderness wanderings to humble their hearts, to test them, as you see that in the text. To humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart. You see, God can use the tribulations of our lives in order to demonstrate where our deepest affections lie, where our deepest loves are. And it's there in the time of tribulation and trial and suffering and sadness that we find that the only firm foundation that truly brings us any comfort in life and in death is God Himself and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That firm foundation, when trials and tribulations were like the wind last night, blow heavy on the heart, God can use those moments to shape you to be a better Thanksgiving person. A man or a woman who is even more equipped and shaped for Thanksgiving, because you know what it's like to be on the bottom of the pit. And when you look out the bottom of the pit, as we talked about this week, the stars of God's promises shine even greater when you're down in the depths. It's never on the heights. It's always in the depths where the promises of God and His provisions are most real and alive. And so God wants to remind the people of Israel, before they enter the promised land, before they receive this wondrous promise that was promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and to the people of Israel on the mountain, and as they've waited these 40 years, God has humbled them and taught them to trust. You know, I find that's fascinating. Right in the middle of this remembrance is verse 3. He humbled and causing you to hunger, then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Who repeated those words when he was in the desert? Who do you know repeated those exact words when he was in the desert? While he was 40 days being tempted in the wilderness, it was our Lord Jesus Christ who quoted this text to Lucifer, to Satan. Man does not live on bread alone. Abundance does not define who we are, does it? God does. As believers, as those who are born again, it is God who defines us, not our circumstances, not our bank accounts, but it's God. God and His Word. And so they learned in their wilderness wanderings to trust God. Oh, friends, this Thanksgiving, I ask this wondrous question. Do you trust God? Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him with your future, your earthly pilgrimage, your future? Do you trust Him with your eternity, with life after death? That's a great question for any of us to ask. Do you trust Him? And it's through suffering that God teaches us to trust. And I find it fascinating that God highlights through Moses two particular supernatural provisions in their 40 years of wilderness wandering. Did you notice that? Verse 4, your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during your 40 years. I sort of smile at those illustrations. Just those two illustrations particularly. Your clothes didn't wear out after 40 years. That's not a physical reality. That is a supernatural reality. How God had provided for them supernaturally in the wilderness wanderings. And their feet did not swell, those 40 years of wilderness wandering. And all the while, God was with them, wasn't He? He was with them in the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud and in the tabernacle, traveling with His people in the valley and on the mountaintop. When they were complaining and grumbling and, oh, woe is me, it was so much better. Didn't we have tons to eat in Egypt? Oh, and the, you know, I've said, and the melons and the meat. Oh, we had it to the full, which is not actually true. And where was God? He was with them in their sin, with them in their rebellion, with them in their suffering, with them in their uncertainty. And that same God is with His people on our wilderness wanderings this morning. Not just somewhere else, but He is with His people as He was with the people of old so long ago. And I'll say this again. It's wondrous words from the, well, I'll go back actually. The Apostle Paul says something so important. As he writes to the church in Corinth, as he reflects on his own life, he said, outwardly we are wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Oh yeah, the trials and the tribulations of this life will wear you down. And soon your body will wear out. And soon you'll fly away. But the Apostle Paul is saying that through all the sufferings, through all the temptations, through all the trials, the Christian is being renewed day by day by the wondrous promises of God. And so what you find from the Apostle Paul to Moses and to all the prophets and the apostles is that true thankfulness is always from the heart. And the illustration is important for us to see in verse 5. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord God disciplines you. Why does God allow trials and tribulations and temptations and death to come into our life? Well, he loves us. That's not the answer people always want to hear. But as fathers discipline their children, that they might pick the path, that they might choose the path of life instead of the path of destruction. Our God is always leading us towards a path of life because he loves us. And his love is not temporary. His love is eternal. His love does not want to cease in your life. It doesn't want to end at your death. His love is for all eternity. And in Christ, you will live for all eternity. Should you give thanks? Yes! You should. We should be shouting at the table as we eat our turkey. Oh, there's going to be a lot of turkey. Maybe some of you have ham. I never had turkey until I was 12 years old because they didn't like turkey, those Dutch immigrants. So they ate ham. But I can't wait to have the turkey. But we're going to be celebrating and feasting together. And so much of Thanksgiving can be we're so full that after we got done, we start complaining how full we are. And then you're sort of tired, you want to take a nap. But the reality is the table that we're going to today should be a table of thanking God. And thanking God for what is most precious to the believer, and that is for the giving of his son, for the provision of his son who was crucified and resurrected. That is what I am most thankful for, is for Jesus who loved me and gave himself for me. Yes, I have material blessings unimaginable. You look at the text, verses 6 through 9. They're called to obey, right? Because the best expression of any soul that has been smitten by the love of God is obedience. For those who have been blessed by God, the natural response is gratitude, is it not? It's gratitude. And yes, we should be grateful for the abundance we have. Isn't that what God is trying to show the people of Israel? You're going into a land, look at the seven fruits. I mean, it's teeming with fruit. It's teeming with resources. It's teeming with water. It's a place of abundance. This land of milk and honey, and it's all yours. Oh, my people, it's all yours. And friends, are we not living in the most prosperous nation ever in the history of humanity? We are living in the most prosperous nation in all of human history. You were born here. Thank God. Pinch yourself. And we have so much. We have so much. I mean, we have more than we need because we keep growing in the wrong direction. You should laugh about that as you're going to feast. Laugh at yourself. But we have so much. And we have so much stability. Really, even as a nation, it's amazing the political stability we still have, and we should praise God for that. So much to be thankful for physically, and may that thanksgiving pour from your mouth today as you gather around the table and as you talk with each other, how God has provided you so many good things from this great nation that He has established. That He has established. But as we're sitting there, my hope is that we will open up our Bibles and we will turn to a wondrous text that speaks, well, let's God speak Himself. Speak to our hearts, reminding us of what is most precious, what is most cherished, what is most valuable. And of course, as we come to the end of this year, we are coming into the Christmas season. We are celebrating the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. May your celebration and thanksgiving be filled with Christ. Be filled with Christ. And here is why it's so important for us to be thankful, because lurking in the shadows of our hearts is a gross unthankfulness on this Thanksgiving Day. Lurking within all of our hearts can be a gross unthankfulness for God's provisions. And so God is very clear to warn His people, do not forget the Lord. Do not forget the Lord when your prosperity, mounts, when your vats are overflowing, when your herds and flocks and your houses grow and get larger and your silver and gold increase in your bank accounts or in your box outside buried somewhere so no one could find it. When all those increase, be careful. Because your heart is fragile. And we tend to love money. Things and possessions seem to cause the most griefs that I know of in marriages and in families and in the world. And there is a subtle danger of our material blessings, isn't there? Material blessings can bring a sense of security, can't they? And that security can become ultimate over time. Material blessings can bring a sense of superiority as our bank accounts increase, our cars become finer, our homes become larger. Our 401ks, well, full. Material blessing can also bring a sense of independence, an independence that is not in keeping with Christian discipleship. And material blessing in the hourglass of time are soon gone. They don't last, do they? Here today, gone tomorrow, like the winds that rage yesterday, and now we receive the calm. So will be your material possessions and your prosperity. One day, like a breath, they'll be gone. Consumed by the moth and robbed by the robber. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Friends, when I look, just anytime you're on the internet, most of us are connected to the World Wide Web in some way, but you're constantly reminded in this day of Thanksgiving and leading up to the most traveled day, right, and family day in the calendar, we are bombarded constantly of what you're going to buy this Black Friday or Cyber Monday. Materialism soaks the soul of this nation. It soaks the soul of your internet activity. And it's always reminding you that what is happiness is stuff. More worthless stuff that is here today and gone tomorrow. So on this Thanksgiving Day, what dominates your imaginations, young people? I know in my house I hear plenty about Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Many of you are looking forward to what you're good for Christmas. What kind of wondrous gifts will be on special so you can buy them? Be careful for wealth, as the Bible says. It can lead you straight on a path that is far from God, far from life, far from contentment, and thankless. Thanklessness is a living death. But the thankful heart is life, isn't it? Because we're thanking God for his gifts, for his material blessings, for the men and the women and the boys and the girls sitting next to you in your pews, those you love, thankful to who? To a giver, and his name is God. And I love the last words in verse 18. He says this, God does. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. We're not Frank Sinatra's, I Did It My Way. I hate that song. I hate that song. It's really blasphemy, is actually what it is for a Christian. I didn't do it my way. Without God, I'd have nothing. I wouldn't have breath. I wouldn't have breath in my lungs. I wouldn't even exist. I wouldn't be here. I would have nothing. So I ask you, as we close, who gives you the ability to produce wealth and to enjoy the bounty of this earth? The answer makes all the difference, I believe. The answer makes all the difference. God does. And that wealth, is it for me? Oh, for me to enjoy, yes. But is it for me alone? Oh no, all good gifts are best shared, aren't they, from God, that we might have others thank the Lord with us. Because as we enter the next life, which everyone here will do, and all those in Christ, when we're at the table, we'll be thanking a lot. We'll be celebrating the Lord's goodness for all eternity, forever happy, never sad, teeming over with thanksgiving and joy and delight. Can you picture it? That world? My hope is you can, and that you know the blessing that made that possible, and that was God's own Son, Jesus Christ, who died and is alive because he rose from the grave and he's returning. Oh, enjoy the turkey. Enjoy mom or grandma's stuffing and them garlic mashed potatoes, maybe, with pieces of bacon. And that wondrous pie, maybe pumpkin, apple. But as you eat of God's bounty, may you thank God for his Son. Because he's the bread that doesn't perish and will never die. A bread that lasts forever. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, bless your people. Bless them with hearts full of gladness at what you have done, how you have provided for our families, how you have provided for our communities, how you have provided for this church, how you have provided for us new life in Christ Jesus, new birth by the Holy Spirit, how you are present with us, your people, and how you will never leave us nor forsake us. You'll be with us to the end. Oh, would we give thanks for your infinite blessings, because you are an infinite God. Oh, Father, the thanksgiving's going to be wondrous at the supper of the Lamb. May we experience just a taste as we gather around our tables as your people, enjoying our families and your bounty. Oh, hear our prayer, living God, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.